Today we're going to be in Ecclesiastes 9. It is a real book of the Bible, Ecclesiastes. It's Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, if you want to get there. Well, we'll get there in a minute, but let me start with this question. Have you ever said the phrase, "I'm not as young as I used to be"? All right. I said that a few months ago. In fact, I felt old, y'all. I felt old. And I know some of you are looking at me like, "You're only 38, Josh." Like, yeah, I know, but I felt old. You know why? Because I was on vacation in Arizona in the pharmacy aisle at Walmart looking for bunion pads. Man, and I was like, my foot just hurt. And my wife, she loves me. Love you. All right, she's over there. Hi. My mom, she loves me. We were on vacation seeing her. My kids, they love me. And they were all like, "Daddy, you know, Josh, whatever, what'd you do?" Nothing. You know what I mean, right? You woke up and then your knee hurt, right? Like forever. Like that's just how it works. When you're a certain age, it just doesn't stop hurting. And I was like, man, this is so stupid. I'm like active. I take care of my body. I'm like, my foot hurt. And I didn't know what was happening. And I found myself in the bunion aisle, all right? It worked and it's a way, but I guess bunions come back. I don't know. Do they come back? They pop out? I don't know. You never know. That stinks, getting old. We want to deny it, though. Our culture, we want to cover it up, so we buy the creams and we wear the powders and we pay for the surgery or whatever we do, and we try to cover it up. You know, we don't want to get old unless we want to age our face on a fun app like this, all right? Remember this from a few years back? There we go. That's me in like 20 years, I guess. That's what the app says. A few more wrinkles, a few more gray. Yeah. You like how that looks? All right, my wife is over there, and she just smiles. And, oh, yeah, okay. Our culture, we don't really like getting older, right? We try to cover it up. But sometimes we do try to have some fun with it, and I just wonder, like, you see this hourglass up here. What if we, like, knew the day? What if we could just flip this over, and we know that when that's done, we're done? Would you like that? There's a website, deathclock.org. Did you know about this? You can type in a few facts about your life, and it'll tell you a day, right? So naturally, I did that, and I found out that it was December 2nd, 2086 for me, which means I'm 101 years old, 3 months and 20 days. Thank you very much. Okay. Would you want a timer? I don't think so. But what about this question? What if we actually did know we only had 6 months to live? What would you do today? What if you knew it was 3 months? 1 month? A day? What would you do today if you knew death was coming? The reality is, no matter or whether or not we know when this clock will run out, we need to live prepared and we need to be ready. And there are things that we should do because we have an inevitable death coming. In fact, for 4 weeks, we have been in this series, Living Life Backward, right? You've been with us. If you've been with us the whole time, you know, week one, Adam talked about just bursting all these bubbles. We think that all these like success or wealth or relationships or pleasure are going to be the thing that is giving us life. But those bubbles just pop. That's not it. Week two, we talked about work and how work is not just a job, it's an assignment, and God has something for every one of us to do. And when we work that way, it gives life meaning. Last week, Adam talked about living with wisdom, because how, if we know the end is coming, what do we need to do? Well, we need to live with wisdom. We need to fear God. We need to seek God. We need to trust God and live with wisdom. Today, we're going to laser focus in on death and know that there is a time clock counting for all of us. Through this series, we've highlighted a couple resources. I want to do that real quick before we jump in. This book by Dave Gibson. There's still a few copies in the Resource Center. So if you want to get one, it's a nice little devotional commentary. You can read along. We also have Bible app reading plans that are updated every week. And then today, we wanted to highlight Right Now Media. You'll see a QR code. Once again, you can scan that right now if you want, or it's in every single one of your note pages. You can scan that with your phone. And if you don't have the Right Now Media account yet, it's free. We've given that to you as a church. Here's what it is, really short commercial. It's Netflix for Bible study. Thousands of videos. There's teaching, there's Bible studies, there's sermons, all of it. And it's yours. If you have a drive to work, you can even turn on the little clicker that says audio, and you don't have to watch the video, you just listen to it, okay? So take advantage of that. There's a series that just came out on the book of Ecclesiastes, and so maybe supplement what's going on here Sunday mornings. Resources for you. Let's get back to the question at hand. We all got this clock that's ticking, right? We all have it. So if we knew our time is short, how are we going to live today? Solomon, the author of Ecclesiastes, the preacher, he wrestled with that same question. And we're going to look at chapter 9, where he's really focusing in on this question of death and asking, what do we need to do? See, he's going to make a couple observations about death, and then he's going to give us a couple answers for how to live in light of that death. What we've said all through this series is that a proper perspective on death is the key to living the best life. So here's what Solomon says, his perspective on death, starting in verse 1, chapter 9. He says, I reflected on all this, and I concluded that the righteous and the wise, and what they do, they are in God's hands. But no one knows whether love or hate awaits them. All share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good, so with the sinful. As it is with those who take oaths, so it is with those who are afraid to take them. Listen to what he says. This is evil. It's evil in everything that happens under the sun. Why? Because the same destiny overtakes everyone. The hearts of people, moreover, they're full of evil, and there's madness in their hearts while they live. And afterward, they join the dead. Here's what he says. Death, it's unavoidable for all of us. Like, death is seeking all of us out. And it's not fair. Like, it's seeking all of us out. And someday, this clock is going to run out. And I don't care how much kale you eat, how much hot yoga you do, how much Pilates you do. You can drink kombucha. You can take probiotics. You can eat organic, gluten-free, dairy-free, no-carb, non-GMO, grass-fed, naturally raised, locally raised, superfoods that sprout. You can have a diffuser, an air purifier. You can drink bone broth, matcha tea. You can drink almond milk. You can eat chia and chickpeas and sprouted foods all day long. But Jim, we're still going to die. That's just the reality. It's unavoidable. And we're closer to death right now than when this message started. Not only is death unavoidable, Solomon also says this, life, it's unpredictable. This comes from the end of chapter 9 here in Ecclesiastes. It's unpredictable. A couple weeks ago, we were on a staff trip to Savannah. And you've maybe heard us say that. It was a fun time. We love being together, riding in the... It was the green machine we were in. Luke was driving in, our youth minister. He's driving this 15-passenger back from Savannah. And the sun is sort of setting. It's not dark yet, but it's getting that way. And out trots in the road a possum. You know how they look. He's just trotting along like he doesn't have any idea what's going on. And you know what's about to happen, right? Like, Luke did a great job, okay? He didn't try to steer for the possum. He actually got the wheels on either side of the possum, and we thought, hey, it's a people mover, it's a little higher, maybe we saved a life, and then, ba-dum! Possum wasn't just playing dead. It was all the way dead, like it was gone, you know? And I just wonder, how many of us are kind of like that possum sometimes? We're just kind of trotting through life. We don't think that today could be the day. Surely not today. I'm only 38, right? It's not today for me. Listen to what Solomon says, verse 11. He said, I've seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise or wealth to the brilliant or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, listen, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net or birds taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly on them. How many of us are like that possum trotting through life and then unexpected things happened? I don't need to tell you. You all have experienced someone gone too soon. A cancer diagnosis that took someone in the prime of their life. An aneurysm that ended a vacation early. A car accident that changed everything. It's not that death is just evil and seeks us out, but there's this injustice to death. Like, why them? Why now? Life is unpredictable. Solomon, it seems, has a twin brother. His name is James. And in the New Testament of the Scriptures, James writes these words. Let's put it on the screen. He says, now listen, those of you who say, hey, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to this city or that city. We're going to carry on business. We'll make money. But you don't even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You're a mist. It appears for a little while, and then it vanishes. It sounds like a word from Ecclesiastes. Meaningless. Remember that Hebrew word, hevel or hebel? It means smoke, vapor. It's gone. When you try to grab it, it just escapes your grasp. And that's what life is like. It's a mist. You're a vapor. It's unpredictable. Death is unavoidable. Life is unpredictable. And so Solomon is going to, he's going to answer this question, like, how do we live because of those two truths? And he starts by answering in the middle part of chapter 9. I wrote it in my notes this way: how are we going to live? Well, we're going to live with one foot in the grave. Like, we got to remember all the time, today could be the last day. So how do we live with one foot in the grave? And Solomon's answer is, it's two parts. The first part is in the middle of chapter 9. And so listen, verse 7, he starts this way: go. In fact, everybody just say the word go. All right, tap your neighbor and say go. Except not right now, because we're still going here. He says, go, eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has approved what you do. Always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. These are like celebratory things. Enjoy life with your wife. All the husbands, you can put your arm around your wife right now. There we go. Enjoy life with your wife, okay, whom you love. Listen. All the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. Wouldn't that be a great, like, greeting card? Like, I love you, baby, in this meaningless marriage we have. Remember, meaningless isn't meaningless, though. Meaningless doesn't mean life has no meaning. It means it's here today and gone tomorrow. This is your lot, he says. In life and in your toilsome labor under the sun, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead where you're going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. Life is here today, and it's gone tomorrow. So what do we do? Step one, Solomon says, hey, enjoy life. Enjoy life. Like, that word was even in there. Enjoy life with your wife. Live it up. Eat. Drink, celebrate, wear the garments of white and put oil on your head and have feasts and banquets. After all, what is heaven? It's a banquet with the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's a foretaste. All our celebrations are like a foretaste looking forward to that day of heaven. And so Solomon says, go, like, don't miss that word, go. Go live your life. Make a list. You know, like a bucket list, you know? Some of y'all need to start checking some things off, because if you don't have enough time to enjoy life, if you're too busy to enjoy it, you're just too busy. And God says, man, enjoy it. Go live your life. So some of you, man, go visit the Grand Canyon. Go take a cruise. See the Northern Lights. Learn to ride a horse. I don't know. Hold a monkey. That's your dream, Lindsay. Hold a monkey. Go shear a sheep. Crowd surf. I'm going to try right now. All right, not really. Make your list and go grab it, because God says enjoy life. He's like a parent. Like, all you parents in the room or grandparents, what do you know What do you want when you give your kids a gift? You want them to open it. And you want them to play with it and enjoy it. You don't want them to like throw it back in the box. You don't want them to forget about it. No, you want them to open it. And God is this Father saying, hey, live your life. Be grateful. Go enjoy it. I think Christians should like have the most fun in life and make Jesus so attractive that the world around us looks and says, I want what they have. Right? Now, here's the caveat. When you enjoy life, you remember those are good gifts. C.S. Lewis would put it this way, that natural loves that are allowed to become gods do not remain loves. They turn into something, don't they? They turn into false gods. It turns into idolatry. Food becomes gluttony. Alcohol becomes addiction and dependency. Family becomes your identity. Relationships become your idolatry. Net worth becomes self-worth. So don't let that happen. But enjoy the life that God has given you, pointing the glory back to Him, living life the way He would live it, and having fun. Being grateful every single day. Around here, you'll hear us say a lot that you need to practice something called daily gratitude. We've even said, be grateful for. Like, do the grateful for. Like, four things every day you're going to be grateful for. Why? Because when you are grateful for those things, those gifts, you remember they are gifts. They are not gods themselves. You point the attention back to God and say, God, thank you so much for the vacation I took. Thank you so much for the job you have given me. Thank you so much for my family, for my friends. Thank you so much for this cup of coffee. Isn't that coffee good? Yes. Amen. You thank God for the big things, the little things, every single day, and it points the attention back to Him, and you remember their gifts from God. But here's the problem. A lot of people will get stuck in just this enjoyment of life phase. I'm sure you've seen someone living for the weekend or the next relationship or the next high, and that's all it is. We're looking for that. Remember week one, that's a bubble that's going to be burst. There's more to life than that. And so Solomon has a second answer for what we need to do to live with one foot in the grave. And here it is. We not only enjoy life, we prepare for death. This is bigger than like your last will and testament. This is being prepared to meet your Creator God. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. He says this, remember. In fact, just say that again. Say, remember. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And then church, as I read these next several verses, I want you to count how many times Solomon says the word before. Like, remember Him before it's too late, okay? Here it is. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the day of trouble comes. And the years approach when you'll say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble. All right, what are the keepers of the house? Your hands. When you get old, tremble. There's a time coming. When strong men stoop and the spine arches, your shoulders slouch. You've seen it. Age gets the best of us. When the grinders, those are your teeth, they cease because they're few. And those looking through the windows, your eyes, you lose your eyesight, it grows dim. Skip down to verse 6. Remember Him before the silver cord, that's your spine, is severed, and the golden bowl, that's your head, is broken. Before the pitcher is shattered, that's your heart, and the wheel broken at the well, that's your stomach. Solomon, in this beautiful poetic imagery, says your body is decaying, and someday will be your last day. So remember your Creator before it is too late. Listen, as the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it, we are all living on borrowed time. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 90 to teach us to number our days, to give us a heart of wisdom. And then it says, you know, you're given 70 years about, or maybe 80 years if your strength, you know, survives. Maybe, but that's not a guarantee. That's kind of like just averages. We're not guaranteed anything. And so we're going to be prepared for death. Mackenzie was such a special young woman. The year was 2000. I'll get to that in a minute. Mackenzie was such a special young woman. She grew up here in this church. And some of you know this story. Some of you might not. But she was in the youth group when I was a youth minister, and just such a joy. She lit up the room where she was. She truly was just a light to so many people. In fact, there was this phrase that was adopted about Mackenzie that said, "Mackenzie is my sunshine." She really was. She was feisty. She was boisterous. She'd let you know how she felt. But she also was such a leader. She was bold with her witness for Jesus. She knew her Savior and where she was going. And man, she was just so fun. I remember my wife and I started having kids, and she wanted to babysit for us and watch our kids, and she'd watch movies with them, and she would teach our son. One of my favorite pictures and videos was her trying to teach our son to roll down the hill in the back of the property at New Beginnings, and there's just laughter all around. Like, she's laughing, he's laughing, the whole youth group is laughing because he couldn't get it. You ever seen a kid try to roll? Like, they go sideways. So he's rolling down the hill and then just going sideways, and she'd pick him up and carry him to the top of the hill and then get down and roll with him and all this stuff. That was Mackenzie. That was who she was and the kind of life she lived. She was bold. She had this thing called the Jesus Memo. It was about this big. It's a half sheet of paper. And what she did is she taped that up in her locker. She put it in her school binder. She put it in her pocketbook. She wanted to see it every day of her life, where she went. Because on it, it was like kind of like a life mission, like you wanted to, what she wanted to do to live out her calling that God had on her life, to tell people about Jesus, to live life for Jesus. And she did. She would pray with people at school no one else would even talk to. And she lived out her faith. Such a wonderful young woman. It was April of 2018. Easter had just happened, and we were on a spring break trip out in the Midwest. I took several of the youth group out to do a college visit in Missouri, and we'd been there for a day, and Shannon, Mackenzie's mom, gave me a call. She said Mackenzie had sustained a head injury in a car accident, and she was being life-flighted to Grady Memorial Hospital in Atlanta. We didn't know what the future held, and so we were scared and broken and didn't know what was going to happen. We prayed over the phone 800 miles away, doing only what we kind of knew to do. Providentially, you know, we were at a house of one of the professors of the college who is like incredible, helping us process this grief and what to say to these students who are her friends. And so that night and the next morning, you know, we navigated conversations with what, you know, her friends who were in the youth group. I'm with them 800 miles away. And the next morning, we woke up and said, "Hey, here's what has happened, and we're going to travel back today and get back." And we did. 800 miles of a drive is a long time. And when we got to Grady, Mackenzie was in ICU. Her heart was good, her lungs were good, or her organs were good, but her brain, her head, were not. Two days later, Mackenzie passed away. At the age of 17. And this picture is 6 months previous to that. There was an event for CLC, the Christian Learning Center program, right over here in Walnut Grove. And part of the program, you would write your testimony on a piece of poster board of your life and what's true about you because of your connection with Jesus. And this is what Mackenzie wrote. She wrote, "At peace." Because she was, eternally, she was like, she was good. She knew where she was going. She wanted everybody to come with her. She wanted to make heaven crowded, right? Like, she wanted everyone to come. And she was truly at peace. Now, she was a normal high school girl. So she had anxiety. She had friendship struggles. She had friend issues and drama. And Shannon, she wasn't a perfect daughter, was she? But she was at peace. And she knew it. And everybody knew it. There's no question where she was headed. And so I'm completely confident today that Mackenzie is still a sunshine lighting up the room in heaven, in the presence of those who have gone before us, and her Lord and yours and mine, Jesus Christ. And I can't wait to see her again and just tell her thanks. Like, thanks for taking care of my kids. Thanks for serving the youth group. Thanks for changing so many people's lives at Walnut Grove High School. I mean, we're talking hundreds and like thousands of people. But one young man named John still has her heart beating in his chest today. He was about her same age. His parents were believers, and so they knew that when their son needed a heart, they knew what that was going to cost. So they didn't pray for a heart because they knew that someone else would have to lose their heart. Here's their prayer: that if he got a heart, it would come from someone who was ready. Praise God, Mackenzie was, right? The question for us all is this. We can estimate, right? Like we can try to figure it out how much time we have left. But you never know when some hammer is going to come in and just crash this hourglass and the sand is everywhere. And so today we have to live prepared. Death is unavoidable and life is unpredictable. And so what do? We enjoy the life that God has given us, but we always, always, always have to be prepared for death. Listen to Solomon one more time. Let's leave this verse up there for a while. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Anyone, that's you sitting in a chair today, that's you watching online today, that's anyone who is among the living has hope, because today you may have bought into this lie that you got another 20 years or 30 years or 40 years, but you just don't know. And we have to live our life ready to go at any point. And if we're in the land of the living right now, church, we have hope. And so we lean into that hope and ask, what are we going to do today, knowing that today could be our last? Here's what I don't know. I cannot tell you when your hourglass is going to be time's up. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you what the gospel says. And the gospel says this: you and I are sinners so bad that Jesus had to die. We've not just broken God's law, we've broken God's heart. And you and I have missed the mark. We are sinners. We're not mistakers. We're not oopsers. We are sinners. And we are completely in the hands of God and his grace. And so by faith, through his grace, we can be saved. And so today is the day of salvation. If you're waiting because you think you got another 20 years, don't wait. If you're thinking, man, I'm just not good enough yet, don't wait. It's not by your works, it's by his grace. Today is the day of salvation, and so you don't wait. You don't put off tomorrow what you should do today. You do that today. We live prepared for death because we just don't know. The gospel says, I'm so bad that Jesus had to die. There's no other way around it. God doesn't just sweep my sins under the rug. Jesus had to die a brutal death on a cross for my sins and for you too. He lived the life we couldn't live, and he died the death we deserved to die. And now he sits ruling and reigning at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And we have a promise of life if we are in him. And so we got to ask ourselves and wrestle with this question at the end of this message and at the end of the series: are we ready. Because here is the bottom line, church. One day will be your last day. What if it was today? Adam asked a question week one. I'm going to ask it again. Are you right with God? And are you right with your family? Those are the big questions we got to answer at the end of this series in Ecclesiastes. Are we right with God? And are you right with your family? And so here's the challenge this week. I want you to write your epitaph. You know the saying on your gravestone? It sounds kind of morbid, but I want you to do it. Because it's necessarily short and small. Like, you can't fit that much on a rock in the ground. You got to write something short. And so what do you want to be known for? What's your legacy? If you're already a believer, maybe you focus on things like, well, I want to be, you know, this faithful father, or I want to be a loving mother. I want to be a person of legacy and faith. And maybe, though, if you're not a believer today, you need to focus on writing an epitaph that has more of an identity on it, where you can say, truly, I am a son of God. I'm a daughter of the King. Once I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, now I'm found. Maybe you take a page from Mackenzie's book and you write, I'm at peace now. Because I don't just know about Jesus. I know him, and I've called to him for salvation. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved other than Jesus Christ our Lord. And so today, get right. The only thing more certain than your death is Jesus Christ himself, the one who conquered the grave, the one who killed death itself, the one who, you know, is written about in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, where death is your victory, it's gone. Where death is your sting, it's gone. Why? Because Jesus Christ has given us the victory. And there's this amazing promise also in 1 Corinthians 15 that the Christian who places faith in Christ, we won't die like everybody else. No, we're transformed. And we just go from one kind of life to another kind of life in the presence of our Lord forever. One day is going to be that day. What if it was today? Are you right with God? If not, we have cards in every single bulletin. It's called a connection card. It's a card in the seat back in front of you. Welcome home. Use that. Interact with it. Write your decision, because don't let this day pass. Don't miss this moment. If you're watching online or in the room, corinth.cc/decided, you can fill out a form and we'll be in touch this week to walk through this decision of making Jesus your Lord. Don't wait another day. Let's pray. Father God, we say thank you for these days that you've given us, this time that you've given us, and our prayer today is just simply that we would honor you with it. Our lives are not our own. We have been bought at the incredible price of Jesus Christ, your Son. And we live because he died. And so today, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would continue to stir us and shake us and make us uneasy until we have answered your call. No matter what that call is, we ask that you give us wisdom to hear. Your servants are listening. And we ask you give us courage to respond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.